Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
In a related issue, Terry Rollins.
Heads up, Caden. You got some audio feeding through over the board there. Yeah, I think he's doing some great editing work for us there. But, thanks for getting that. Our inside baseball for our listeners out there. Yeah, Dennis Bragg, who does our Montana State News Network news coverage. Great news reports, by the way, that he produces for us and a whole bunch of other radio stations across the state. But, yeah, he was hoping to get a soundbite from Russell Nimitz. It's our friend Russell Nimitz with the Western Ag Network earlier this morning. But, yeah, Becky, you probably worked with Dennis Bragg. Was he the general manager over at KPAX TV when you were in one of the MTN stations back in the day? I can't remember.
He was. I don't think we ever crossed paths, though. I don't think we ever met, but certainly I knew who he was. He's been around forever.
Oh, and he does
such a great job.
He's doing real journalism in real radio news with natural sound. And, you know, he did a package on the, I think it was the Man Gulch fire.
Uh-huh.
And he had historic sound. He had audio clips from the, you know, of the airplanes doing the flyover. He had audio clips of, you know, Forest Service officials speaking at the event. And it's like, it's so good to hear real news because so many people are just not doing it, or they're just, you know, ripping and reading from other sources. And so it's fun to have his news reports on the radio for us. But, yeah, Caden's getting some sound bites for him to air statewide here later this morning. But speaking of the news, I don't want to draw you into the politics of it, but I was just kind of laughing to myself as I knew Becky was on her way in here. Whoopi Goldberg on The View.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if they'd ever let you on The View. You're too nice. You're too common sense. And you're typically pretty apolitical, too. But Whoopi Goldberg was saying how, oh, let's not talk about how bad it is for women in Iran and other, you know, minority groups or whatever. She was saying, you know, and I was just laughing to myself, like, Whoopi Goldberg gets millions of dollars to say whatever she wants, and then she wants to act like she has it so bad in America. And I was thinking, well, you know, Becky's coming in today. She doesn't have to speak only when spoken to.
Right.
She doesn't have to. Why is your hair exposed right now, Becky? You better have your hair covered when you walk into these studios. You know what I'm saying? Like, to just totally ignore how atrocious this terrorist regime is in Iran, especially towards women.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad she's privileged enough to feel like she can just ignore everybody else's plight.
Well, I think the risk is, Aaron, when you get to that level that Whoopi is and other people in her sphere, they just get so out of touch with what reality is. They're so cushioned and protected by people who are like them, and they forget about the struggles of other people, the true struggles that other people have. And they'd live in this elitist little bubble and cloud. And they are out of touch, and there are women all over the world who are suffering far worse than we are here. We are so fortunate to live in America. As imperfect as it is, it's the perfect place for everyone to have a voice, and we don't have to worry about having that voice. Even Whoopi can have the voice that she wants, and she can say what she wants. We can choose whether or not we listen, but she's got it pretty good, and there are a lot of women out there who have it a lot worse than Whoopi Goldberg, and they would give anything to live one day in her life.
That's right. I didn't know that the reason she got the name Whoopi because of the whoopee cushion. Gutfeld, they were saying that's how she got the nickname, is she was known for the whoopee cushion, apparently.
Oh, goodness.
All right, back after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sun today, we'll see a chance for showers and storms, especially west of Billings. High temperatures from 83 in Bozeman to about 86 in the Billings area. For tonight, chance for scattered showers and storms. Lows at 47 in Bozeman to 57 in Billings. And we'll see more shower and storm chances Saturday, mid-60s in Bozeman, near 80 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. Today is the first official day of summer, and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital has some health tips for the hot weather, saying staying healthy in the heat doesn't have to be complicated. First, protect your skin, wearing at least SPF 30 sunscreen and reapplying it every 2 hours. You can also cover up with a hat, sunglasses, and UV protective clothing, and try to avoid peak sun exposure from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Also, stay hydrated, drinking water regularly, especially when it's hot outside, or eating hydrating foods like watermelon, cucumbers, and oranges, while also avoiding sugary drinks. Instead, choosing water or natural fruit-infused beverages. And stay active. You can enjoy low-impact activities like swimming, walking, and biking. But listen to your body. Take breaks and rest when needed. And be sure to wear proper footwear and protective gear for that outdoor fun. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we've of course got to talk about not just our friend, but when I say our friend, it's not just my friend, Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin, not just Becky Hillier's friend, Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin. He was a friend to all of us. Mm-hmm. He truly was our friend. And Becky, as I look over the hills over South Billings here, and you can see the sun shining down on it. Looks like a wheat field up top there. But a lot of people, you know, there's places in Montana where you feel like you're on top of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to feel like you're on top of the world when you're on top of Lone Peak at Big Sky or Big Mountain in Whitefish. But I've been in Plentywood, and you can see, you know, all across eastern Montana. You get on that one little perch, and you feel like you can see it all. And I got a chance to go out to John Oslin's house one time, and he lives up there in the hills south, and lived tragically. He died in the plane crash yesterday south of Billings, for those who haven't heard the news yet. But, you know, I can see the sun shining down on where his house is at out there. And I remember we just did like this 360 panoramic view, and he talked about all of the mountain ranges that he could see from his property. Wow. And how beautiful it. So his place was where you felt like you were on top of the world. You know, there's the Crazies over there. There's the Beartooths. Mm-hmm. There's the Pryors. There's the, and it was so cool. But I think about that. But I think that's the thing about John Oslin is, when I think about this top of the world analogy, he made everybody feel like you were on top of the world. That's just the way he treated people.
Mm-hmm. He was really great at that. I mean, he always took a genuine interest in people, and that really is an art. I mean, you can meet people, and they might ask questions, they might visit with you, but you can see their eyes darting off, looking around the room, or they're not really engaged with you. I mean, they're listening, but they're not really listening. But I never got that feeling with John, and I don't think anybody did. And, you know, in the news business, you'd run across him for stories, or there were social gatherings and events, and we'd see John and Christy at those and hang out with them, talk with them. But I never really heard any, you know, like the stories from our reporters engaging with him. And last night, a couple of them commented when they heard that he had passed away. And our former reporter, Brianna, said, you know, he was always such a nice guy. We'd talk at length about his plane, how much he loved to fly. Our other reporter, David, said that John shared with him his love of flying and said, "You're going to have to go up in my plane with me someday, son." And so before David moved back to California, John took David, our reporter David, up in his plane, just on a leisurely ride, showing him Billings from the top, before he went back to California, so he'd always remember that. And David shared that story with me last night, and I thought, you know, he's a county commissioner. His time is precious. He's busy. He's a mover. He's a shaker. But he always had time for that individual to make them feel special. And when you have someone like John Osland who would invest their time and attention in you, you'd walk away feeling better for it. And I think that was one of his superpowers. He made people feel important.
Yeah, my wife Jessica, yesterday, I hated sharing the news with her because I was starting to get text messages from a bunch of people. Hey, have you heard? And I'm like, oh, come on. Please, you know. But then so I told her, she talked about him being like Uncle John, you know, because he would mentor and chat with her, because she had worked for, you know, numerous members of Congress. She worked for Senator Steve Daines. She did field work for Congressman Reberg, then Congressman Steve Daines, Senator Burns, et cetera. And she loved working with these county commissioners, because these county commissioners across the state, most of them, they aren't in these hyper-partisan political positions. They're just trying to get a road built, or they're just trying to get some infrastructure put together. And so she loved meeting with county commissioners, but John Osland is just one of the best of them. And because he put into other people. He invested in other people. What I love about Commissioner Osland, too, is, you know, I got to go with him to the Mackers Convention in Great Falls, which is the Montana Association of County Road Supervisors, which was a ton of fun and pretty interesting, pretty informative, too. But, you know, he got his start as a guy on the road crews, working in the county road shop, and then ended up becoming a county commissioner. And so not your typical elected official either.
Right, not a career, like he didn't come up as a career politician, but saw things he wanted to change, I'm sure, and so decided to run for a position where he could affect some change. Yeah, he really was special with his attention to people. And I remember probably 8 or 9 years ago, he called me one day and he said, hey, I've got a lead on a great job and you'd be perfect for it. And he was telling me about it, and so, you know, I visited with Mitch, we talked, and just wasn't the right opportunity at the right time. But I thanked him for it, and I thought how nice that was of him to, you know, think of me. And I know he did that for other people, too, but just to know that he took the time to give me a call and say, hey, this would be great for you. You'd be perfect. You know, how can I help? I felt bad not furthering that, but I really appreciated that he thought of me, that he called and let me know. And I know he did that for other people, too. He was just always on the lookout to help good people because he was a good person.
Well, and I think, wasn't it just last Friday we were talking about how, you know, we've been talking a lot about how outdoor rodeo is coming back for the first time in a long time to Billings, thanks to Rodeo Billings and the Nile Rodeo, and had David Allen on. But I think it was just last week you were telling us how the grandstands are being built. They're coming back up, the stadium seating for the outdoor rodeo. And we just mentioned last week how when those had to be torn down for safety reasons, there were a lot of people who were mad and didn't think those things would ever return. And I think we mentioned it last week that Yellowstone County Commissioner John Osland, he loves agriculture. He loves everything associated with agriculture. So we knew having him in that commissioner's seat meant that there was going to be somebody looking out for us. And those grandstands going up is a symbol to that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. He was the main proponent of that. So we have John Osland to thank for this new outdoor arena. And I'm just so sad that he won't be able to be there this summer when we kick off Rodeo Billings in that brand new arena. But we'll definitely be thinking of him because we owe him a lot for that decision.
That's right. That's right. Let's see. I know Commissioner Mark Morris, I just got a message from him. He's going to come join us later in the hour as well. Stand by, back right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The first step in really reforming Medicare is to realize that what it's trying to do is virtually impossible, and that is to administratively set prices. And not just a few prices, millions of prices for every kind of drug, procedure, service, and therapy you can imagine, with thousands of variants for age, health, and region of the country. I say this is impossible, but what I really mean is that it's impossible to do correctly, to set prices the way a market would, according to scarcity and demand. Wrong prices send bad signals to market participants. Author John Goodman compares the Medicare reimbursement for two different kinds of patient visits, one to diagnose a condition causing symptoms and a visit to have cataracts removed. Medicare pays almost 7 times more for a 20-minute cataract surgery than the visit to the GP. Is it any wonder that general medicine practitioners are becoming harder to find? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Donald Trump's America. President Trump is criticizing Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell of acting too slow for not cutting interest rates.
And I guess he's a political guy. I don't know. He's a political guy who's not a smart person, but he's costing the country of fortunes.
Powell says the U.S. economy is strong, noting falling inflation and a steady job market. But
what we're waiting for to reduce rates is to understand what will happen with really the tariff inflation. And there's a lot of uncertainty about that.
Powell was first appointed to lead the Fed by President Trump in 2018. He was reappointed through a second term by then-President Biden. President Trump says he won't give Powell a third term.
I'm too late, Powell, because he's always too late. I mean, if you look at him, every time I did this, I was right, 100%.
The Federal Reserve still predicts 2 interest rate cuts this year. At the White House, Jack Halpern, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins announced this week that USDA would be reestablishing a New World screwworm sterile fly facility at Moore Air Force Base in South Texas to protect the U.S. from the spread of the pest from Mexico. The facility was used in the 1960s to help eradicate a screwworm infestation that threatened the U.S. livestock industry. Buck Werbein is president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
We've had issues with getting the flies distributed in southern Mexico, and so there's been a change from instead of bringing them from Panama, where they're creating 100 million of them a week, to Moore Air Force Base, staging them there and then delivering them, and that will be a big help. It was a facility back in the 60s that helped create these things, and to where we overwhelmed it, and we can do that again. We are grateful for her for this action, for the action that she's taken. We're grateful that she is, in my view, listening, but more importantly than that, hearing us. And she, as I said, she understands the urgency of this.
The U.S. is also working with the Mexican government to assist them in getting a facility going where they could produce 60 to 100 million sterile flies a week. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I had to go into grok. I tried to grok it last hour. I forget, we had a guest on recently, or maybe it was a caller, and we were talking about how important agriculture is just to Billings and to Yellowstone County. Here you have Montana's largest town. Some would describe it as Montana's largest city.
We'll call it a town.
We'll call it a town. We're all towns here. We don't want to call ourselves cities. We don't want to encourage that type of behavior. somebody spit out the numbers. I mean, because you could there's days where you could have nearly as many cows at the auction yard in Billings as you do people almost. Yeah. And how many people in Billings don't even know it, don't even see it? But they see the big bank buildings and the big hospital buildings, and so they know healthcare, they know finance, they know retail when you go out and see the massive Shields and things like that. But they don't often see how big agriculture is for Yellowstone County. So I had to ask Grok for some numbers, and they pulled up. Grok used a bunch of different sources, many of them, of course, coming from Montana State University Extension. They've got some numbers. Hey, even from some of our own radio station websites here, Yellowstone County numbers in particular. But Becky, here we go. Over 95% of land in Yellowstone County is classified as farmland, totaling approximately 1.7 million acres.
Wow.
So 1.7 million acres. We forget how big Yellowstone County truly is as well here. These numbers come from montana.edu, so MSU Extension. Farms and ranches generated $211.8 million in value added to the county's economy in 2017. In 2017, farm revenues in Yellowstone County, including the market value of products sold, government payments, farm-related income reached nearly $150 million. So that's just some of the numbers. But to be honest, what Grok pulled here, I think this is an underestimate of, mm-hmm. of really the economic size of it.
Well, and you're right. A lot of people have no idea the economic impact that agriculture has in our community or our county. I mean, they know it's here, obviously. They see the land, but they don't know the practical effects of that. You know, and with the Nile, one thing we're really looking to expand this year and in the years to come is our fourth grade agriculture ed program. So every year during the Nile Stock Show, we have fourth graders from different schools in Billings come out to the Nile, and they get to experience agriculture. They get to see farm animals, and they get to do these fun little stations at the Nile Stock Show. And the whole reason behind that is because we really understand the importance of exposing young kids to the agriculture industry, because kids who are born and raised in the city, they don't get it. Maybe they've never seen a farm animal before. Maybe they've never seen a cow up close or understand exactly what comes from that cow or that farm or that ranch. And so if you can expose kids to this industry early on, then you have a better chance of igniting some curiosity and interest at a young age that might translate into them going into some kind of field in agriculture. So that fourth grade program, we have 2,000 fourth graders who come out to the Nile Stock Show every year to experience agriculture, and some of them for the first time. So you have to think that that will leave an impression on them that will benefit the industry long term.
You know, you talk about experiencing some things for the first time. Becky, we've all got friends. How many, and even some of us, I mean, I've spent how many years traveling all across Montana? Mm-hmm. I still haven't seen it all.
Yeah.
Can you name any places? Well, what are some of your favorite places to visit in Montana? Or what's a place you haven't been to yet that you still need to go to?
Well, one of my favorite places was when I was, I must have been 8 or 9. And my brother-in-law, his family owned a resort at Lake Coconusa.
Oh, yeah.
Up in the far northwest part.
That was your brother's family, you said?
My brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law. Oh,
yeah. My brother-in-law's
family.
They owned this resort on Lake Coconusa. I had never been up there before. So we spent, 3 or 4 days up there on Lake Coconusa. And, you know, I was from Miles City. I hadn't even, we'd been to Glacier National Park once, but I had never really been in the mountains of Montana.
Mountains.
There are trees. Look at them. What are those pointy things?
Yeah.
They're mountains.
Yeah.
So, and it was amazing. And I remember being on that lake and seeing the pine trees around. I asked my sister, are we in Canada? Because it was just so beautiful. So that's a place that I absolutely loved as a kid. Haven't met up there since, but would love to go up and visit Lake Coconusa.
So that place you were talking about, I'm assuming it's where now they have an outdoor amphitheater, the marina.
Oh, really?
It's up close to Eureka, and some reason, mm-hmm. The name is, so the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, for their mid-year meeting, they did it up there, had a big barbecue out there.
Yeah.
That facility is incredible. And they'll bring some big names in for concerts right on Lake Coconusa.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, and then State Senator Mike Cuff out of Eureka, he got me on his pontoon boat, and we went.
Oh, fun.
We pontooned right up to the border with Canada on the water.
Yeah.
So, it's an incredible country. All right, back in 60 seconds after this, Fox asked Becky if there's a place she loved visiting or hasn't visited yet, is because we are doing a big radio giveaway, a tourism package that you've got the opportunity to win. And so each week we're highlighting a different tourism region here in Montana. And by the way, Becky hit right on it, because the region, Becky, the region we're highlighting this week is Glacier Country, which includes Lake Coconusa. So here's some interesting stats. And then we're trying to share some trivia at the same time. So Lake Coconusa, which is, northwest Montana, north of Libby, northwest of Kalispell, et cetera. Lake Coconusa formed by combining Coo for the Kootenai River, Can for Canada, and USA It's a 90-mile-long reservoir created by the Libby Dam in Lincoln County, stretching from Montana into British Columbia. It's not only a linguistic mashup, but a stunning recreation destination for boaters, anglers, and campers. So there you go. Now you know why it's called Coconusa.
I love that little tidbit of information.
Kootenai River, Canada, and USA.
That makes a lot of sense. And how crazy that that was my... my story
the
of where
example.
I have to be. Yeah.
Well, and so here's how you win this week's tourism package. Go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Visitmt.com/giveaway. And it's a Glacier Country giveaway package. One night stay at the Red Line Hotel in Polson.
Oh, nice.
So you can stay right on the shores of Flathead Lake. A gift certificate to the East Shore Smokehouse and a scenic flight tour with Blue Goose Aviation. So
I think you need an ambassador for the show to go and help those people enjoy themselves up there.
That's right. The Department of Commerce should have you do some video reports,
right,
some feature reports featuring Becky. let's see. You know, the bright side story. We always, you know, have a great story from Becky focused on the bright side. Really, this week, it's a quote. You were reading all the tributes pouring in for Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin, and that kind of brought to mind a great quote.
Yeah, a really simple but meaningful quote, and I think it's something that we all could keep in the back of our minds as we go about our daily business and how we treat people, how we interact with people, and the legacy we want to leave. But the quote is, be the kind of person who leaves a mark, not a scar. And as I read the tributes coming in about John and his interactions with people from all over the spectrum, I thought, wow, that really summarizes John's life. He really has left a mark in Yellowstone County. He's been a public servant for more than two decades and has made some decisions in the best interest of Yellowstone County that may not have always been popular, but he made them because they were in the best interest of the people here that he knew and loved so much and that he really cared about. He had a sincere love and care for this county and this community. So be like John and be the kind of person who leaves a mark and not a scar. He definitely left his mark in Yellowstone County.
Becky Hillier, great to see you as always. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see if we can get you scheduled for those Northwest Montana ambassador positions or something like that. Presidential nomination appointment, you know. All right. We've got Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morse joining us in studio right after this, and then we'll get to your phone calls and more after that.
Hey, you. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I was looking at my show calendar here. One of the things I need to do is, you know, when we talk about Yellowstone County Commissioner John Osland, I talked earlier in the 6 o'clock hour with our friend Russell Nimitz from the Western Ag Network just about what a constant optimist Commissioner John Osland was. And I remember when I was a kid, I remember a billboard, I think, if I'm recalling it right, you know, driving Highway 2, driving the High Line. And, you know, I was a kid in Glasgow, Russell Nimitz, a kid in Chinook. But I remember this billboard of President Ronald Reagan, and he just had the biggest smile on his face, and he had that white cowboy hat. And it was just the picture of American optimism and the future of America. And that's who Commissioner John Osland was as well. And for those of you who haven't heard the devastating news, Yellowstone County Commissioner John Osland killed in a single occupant plane crash south of Billings Thursday afternoon. But I wanted to go back and look at my show calendar here because I remember, you know, it was just before the November elections. And every time I go to all these political events all over the place, and, you know, some of these elected officials and political speakers, I've heard them speak 1,000 times. So what I like to do is I like to go hang in the back. And actually, I think one of the events I remember in particular was at the it was on the west end of Billings, and I think Wyoming Senator John Barrasso was in town alongside now U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy at a campaign event before the November elections. And, of course, who do you see there? Well, you see him at practically everything. Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin with the rosy red cheeks, the big smile, and the Western mustache and that white cowboy hat that is just curved up on both sides. And And so I just hang in the back and just start BSing with John Oslin. And he just looks at me and he says, Aaron, I think we're going to have some really good things happen on Election Day. He said, I know it. I said, America is, we're going to do it. Donald J. Trump is going to do it. And that's just who John Oslin was. But I went back and looked at my show calendar, and I think he dropped in November 1st. So like 4 days before the November elections. I need to go back and pull that audio off our podcast, and just to, because I want people to just hear that optimism about the future of the United States of America. But now joining us in studio, we've got his fellow Yellowstone County Commissioner, Mark Morse. Commissioner, great to have you here in studio. Well, not so great to have you here today, of course, but it's great to be able to pay a tribute here to Commissioner Oslin. I started getting text messages yesterday afternoon, and I was hoping that it was just fake news, that it was just a bad rumor. But very sorry for the loss of your good friend and our good friend, John Oslin.
Well, Aaron, good morning to you and your listeners. And obviously, this is a sad day for Yellowstone County. John Oslin was a great American. He was larger than life, and it's a big loss for Yellowstone County. A ton of institutional knowledge was lost yesterday. John started with the county in November of 72. He was an equipment operator, mostly a blade. He progressed through the ranks. He became foreman. Then he became superintendent of the road department, and he got elected commissioner. He took over as commissioner January of 2023, so this November would have been his 54th year. So
with the county,
he worked with the county 54 yeah. years.
Wow.
And obviously he was my mentor. He's how I became a county commissioner. And a little bit of the timeline of what happened yesterday is a plane crash was reported to the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office right around 2:15-ish or thereabouts. Captain Kent O'Donnell kind of took over. He heard that they originally thought it was approximately 2 miles off of Blue Creek Road. Captain O'Donnell called for the sheriff's office helicopter because they didn't think there was road access. Gary Blaine is our pilot for the sheriff's helicopter. They got up in the air. They could see the smoke. They went down to the area. They circled it, and as they were circling, they could visually see that it was Commissioner Oslin's plane, as well as the tail numbers were still visible at that point. And so that's the extent of what we know.
Yeah.
It crashed.
I did reach out to Sheriff Linder yesterday afternoon, and he emailed me back and said that the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, is inbound, as they would be with any airplane crash. But it sounds like at least Commissioner Oslin didn't suffer, looking at the wreckage of the crash. But what a beautiful family all around. I've met so many of his family members.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I didn't know you were related to John Oslin. I mean, he's got, so many family in the area, grandkids and everything. And I'll tell you what, you want to be filled with pride for America. Listening to Christy, his wife, sing the national anthem, man, I tell you what, it's...
Yes.
That's what America's all about.
So, the county is sad. We will continue to function. Myself and Commissioner Waters are meeting later today with County Attorney Scott Twito, and we'll follow the procedure for getting a third commissioner back on the board. Because as everyone knows, our county commissioner is three members, and it takes two votes to advance any action that we take. And next week is pretty important for the county. we're slated to start budget hearings because the new budget year for the county, the old fiscal year stops June 30th. The new fiscal year starts July 1st.
And significant changes out of Helena have got everybody kind of all hands on deck trying to figure out what to do at the city and the county level, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that the Department of Revenue exactly understands the tax implications for, I think they have to, it's going to take several months to get that figured out for themselves.
So even while in the midst of mourning, you've got to quickly figure out how to fill that seat here. How soon can a seat like that be filled?
You know, I don't know. We're meeting later, like I said, with Scott Twito, the county attorney, and we do have to move forward post-haste to get that done.
Of course, the seat will be filled, but those boots will never be filled.
John is larger than life. You know, anybody that knows him knows that. He had an infectious smile. He, as you correctly noted, he was the eternal optimist. And it's just, it really is a big loss to the county.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been talking about this morning, from Russell Nimitz to Becky Hillier, who is now, of course, with the Nile Rodeo as well, is the thing that I've always loved about John Oslin is he always had a heart for agriculture, and he understood the importance of farming and ranching to Montana and to Yellowstone County in particular, where a lot of people can have the tendency to want to become big city these days and forget about the heart of the county.
So ag is number one in Yellowstone County, just by the numbers. They're the biggest producer for us, and they are important. And, you know, John was a big force in getting the new outdoor rodeo arena going down at Metro Park. You know, it was his foresight that got us. We had a lot of other issues. We had to get through at Metro, but he's the one that got us and said, we just got to do it now. We got to keep moving forward.
And, you know, you're going to have disagreements with folks over the years. And in the Metro, there were some disagreements about what to do with that facility and where to move and how to move forward. But you know what? You're going to have these disagreements. But you can still leave your mark and have disagreements without being disagreeable.
Well, and I think, as everybody can see now, John had the right vision for Metro. In some respects, that dissent about Metro is how I got elected county commissioner. And we followed John's plan, and I think everybody will see in short order it was the correct plan. And that rodeo arena, according to our general manager, Stoney, and Niles' general manager, David, it's just the phone is ringing off the hook with people that want to get booked in there.
Well, and then this massive bypass, you know, all that traffic, commercial traffic, truck traffic that has to go down through Main Street and the Billings Heights and then around the Metro to get to the interstate, to head down to Denver, or head to South Dakota or wherever. Big bottleneck for traffic. Well, I saw City Councilmember Jennifer Owen talked about how, you know, 20 plus years ago, John Oslin told her how he had a vision of a bypass road that would go over the Yellowstone River and go around that whole area and look at what a ribbon that's about to be cut on that very thing very soon. He left his mark.
That's the type of vision John Oslin had.
Commissioner Morse, an honor to see you. Sorry about the loss of your friend and ours, and thanks for coming in to join us.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right, and of course, best to the whole family and all of his friends out there as well.
This episode is brought to you by Nespresso and Samra Origins by the Weekend Coffee Collection.
Introducing Samra Origins. My collaboration with Nespresso is a connection to my roots, to my mother, Samra. Coffee that hits the right notes. It transports you. Crafted with unique notes and bold, soaring flavors. Experience a taste that moves you. Nespresso and Samra Origins.
Discover more at Nespresso.com.
Fox News commentary.
Which American city is ranked worst of the worst? I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
It's Will Kane Country.
The two guys on Trigonometry say we can't even get leftists to come onto our podcast. I know that I have trouble booking leftists for debate because they don't want to debate. They don't want to converse. They want to enforce their viewpoint.
Watch it live at noon Eastern Monday through Thursday at FoxNews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss the show. Listen and follow the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Can you
guess which American city gets the honor of being ranked as worst run? If you guessed a city in California, you've been paying attention. According to WalletHub's report, which measured the effectiveness of local leadership by determining a city's operating efficiency, the once beautiful San Francisco came in last. The study was conducted like this. Each city was given a quality of services score based on 36 areas, including financial stability, education, health, safety, economy, infrastructure, and pollution. Those were then measured against the city's per capita budget. So basically, WalletHub studied how city officials use public funds and compared it to the quality of life and services experienced by residents. So it's really no shock at all, San Francisco is the worst run, and measurably so. The city has so much to offer, but good leadership, well, that's nowhere to be found. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sun today, we'll see a chance for showers and storms, especially west of Billings. High temperatures from 83 in Bozeman to about 86 in the Billings area. For tonight, chance for scattered showers and storms. Lows at 47 in Bozeman to 57 in Billings. And we'll see more shower and storm chances Saturday, mid-60s in Bozeman, near 80 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
The University of Montana's Dr. Mehrdad Kia, he grew up in Iran. He has long talked about the terrorist regime controlling Iran as a paper tiger, with Israel in charge of the skies over Tehran and the people fleeing their capital city. Is this paper tiger concept now on full display? We had a great conversation with Dr. Mehrdad Kia. I tell you what, if you missed it, you got to go back, check it out. Full audio.
So much better, and your teeth will align more closely. It's a win-win when they go away. Learn more at BillingsOralSurgery.com.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, our friend George Blackard in the house for Freedom Friday. We're going to cover a whole bunch of topics, all sorts of big topics under the sun, a lot of the stuff that we haven't gotten to yet this morning. As the tributes for Yellowstone County Commissioner John Ostlund pouring in all across the state here, Governor Greg Gianforte, Senator Tim Sheehy, Senator Steve Daines all shared a message yesterday. We've got that and more on our Montana Talks website right now. But, yeah, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, I want to talk to George about the 5th Fleet. George is a Navy veteran, the 5th Fleet. In Bahrain, apparently the 5th Fleet has been moved out of Bahrain as a protective measure. I heard that through Brian Kilmeade earlier this morning on Fox and Friends. The 5th Fleet has been moved out of Bahrain as a protective measure, given what's going on with Israel and Iran right now. So I want to get George's take on that. As a Navy veteran, I don't know if he's been to Bahrain or not, but I've been there. Of course, he's floated all over the world as a Navy veteran, but interesting getting his take on that. Plus, Jasmine Crockett, some of the latest craziness coming from Jasmine Crockett. She's calling Trump supporters mentally ill, but then immediately after calling you mentally ill, she says, well, we really need bipartisanship. You're all mentally ill, but we need bipartisanship. This after, you know, Democrat official after Democrat official has basically, you know, fanned the flames of political violence all across America. So a lot to get to in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Looks like we've got Billings City Council member Scott Aspenlighter on the phone lines. Scott, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Hey, Aaron. Really appreciate you taking my call on what's a really tough day for Yellowstone County. You know, I just wanted to call in and give some perspective on, you know, the guy that John was outside of politics and outside of leading the county. You know, just 2 days ago, I had a call. It would have been Wednesday afternoon. Voicemail on my cell phone from one of John's friends out in the community. Called me up and said, hey, my friend John Ostlund, give me your number. I need some help with surveying for my business. And John said, you know, you're a great young kid, super smart, and you're the best guy out there to do the job. And you know, I remembered that yesterday afternoon. And that, that's the kind of guy John was. You know, when you became a friend with John, John would go above and beyond for you. Didn't matter where, didn't matter what, didn't matter who. John was always there, and he was a staunch supporter of new guys getting into business, new businesses starting up in our community, and whatever he could do to go out of his way to help you, to introduce you, to get you off on the right foot in this business community. I mean, he's one of the reasons that Billings and Yellowstone County has such a strong business environment. You know, John was a hell of a guy and helped a lot of young guys like me starting my business in Yellowstone County really get off on the right foot. That's just the kind of guy John was. He wanted to see people succeed, and he wanted to see business grow in our community, and he did whatever he could to help.
Yeah, I remember when I got a chance to hear from Ray Thompson up in the Flathead, the founder of SemiTool, who started that company in his backyard out of a shop, out of a shed, basically, and turned it into a $3+ billion company. And he said one of the keys to success is a true desire to see other people succeed and to see other people be successful. And there's so many people out there that they get jealous and they get envious of the success of others. And then there's people like Ray Thompson that love to see other people, and John, that love to see other people succeed and want to help them succeed. Scott, great to hear from you. What a great tribute. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to get to the Fox News update. And then Freedom Friday with our friend George Blackard. I'm interested in getting his Navy perspective on everything in the Middle East. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The first step in really reforming Medicare is to realize that what it's trying to do is virtually impossible, and that is to administratively set prices. And not just a few prices, millions of prices for every kind of drug, procedure, service, and therapy you can imagine, with thousands of variants for age, health, and region of the country. I say this is impossible, but what I really mean is that it's impossible to do correctly, to set prices the way a market would, according to scarcity and demand. Wrong prices send bad signals to market participants. Author John Goodman compares the Medicare reimbursement for two different kinds of patient visits, one to diagnose a condition causing symptoms and a visit to have cataracts removed. Medicare pays almost 7 times more for a 20-minute cataract surgery than the visit to the GP. Is it any wonder that general medicine practitioners are becoming harder to find? I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.